large organisation will tell you there are pockets where we could do this or that better. And the same is true of the NHS. Decades of underinvestment have left the NHS in a pencil and paper slum, screaming out for innovation and the sorts of technology taken for granted in most high streets. Amazon runs its entire empire based on barcodes. Think what that simple technology might do for the NHS and a digital patient journey. Something else we all know, the NHS is forking out a fortune in overtime and weekend working, and millions for over 1.5 million episodes of care in the private sector to help reduce waiting lists. And something else I know for sure is how bloody irritating Silly Boy Streeting is with his Dandini magic dust solutions for the NHS, because you write to me and send me press links. And I linked to one of them this morning, and it's his latest. It's a senseless attack on middle-class Labour voters. He's either too young or too stupid to understand the en-bourgeoisement of the population, the decline in traditional manufacturing industries and trade union membership that got Blair into power in 1997. The trend of a large swing from Conservative to Labour was stronger amongst the better off. To extend Labour's lead from the polls into the polling station, we'll need a Blair-sized swing, 12.7 points from the Tories, larger than the 10.2 point Blair managed in his landslide, and even higher than the swing achieved by Clement Attlee in the historic 1945 post-war Labour victory. I was reminded by a midwife. Streeting is a rare example, she said, of a birth condition. Natus est in aurea eis pes, translated, born with a foot in his mouth. Dandini's nonsense about using more of the private sector? Well, they don't have any more capacity to give. They can only use NHS doctors, and private hospitals are making a nice few quid out of premium patients stumping up to circumvent waiting lists. Whatever the moral high ground objections about the use of public money, watching the BBC Panorama film the other night about Shire hospitals, and I link to it if you haven't seen it, it's on the iPlayer, I'm not at all sure if it's a good idea to crack on without a lot more safeguards. Last year, across the whole sector, there were 6,000 emergency transfers of care from private hospitals to the NHS. Dandini's next big idea is to get the NHS working overtime, evening and weekends, doing operations to cut waiting. Well, they already are. It's the overtime bill that has in part pushed NHSE finances into the red. NHS funding, resources and treatment volumes are inextricably bound up, and I linked to a very good report from the Institute of Fiscal Studies this morning. It's worth having a look at. And will knackered staff turn up? Paying more pushes many higher bands like theatre staff into the next tax bracket. Make NHS overtime tax-free and Dandini might have a chance. Operations don't do themselves. Productivity is not sewing up a patient as fast as your granny can darn a sock. They need primary care, community care, outpatient appointments, diagnostics, scans, tests, car parks, clerks, porters, catering, supplies, estates, laundry, management, rota scheduling, maintenance cleaning, clinical waste coding, medical engineering, as well as theatre staff, operation department practitioners, nurse teams, anaesthetists, surgeons, recovery, ITU, ward staff, discharged, lounges, transport, plus all the other dozen skills and talents and professions that I've forgotten, plus equipment variations for over a dozen specialties, plus the disruption to schedules caused by emergencies, plus competition from kids' football, weekend family life, study, dates, jaws, shopping, and knackeredness. Investing in helping making operating departments more efficient is a grown-up thought. Over 10 million operations a year are performed in England in about 30,000 operating theatres. It's just over 30,000. Depending on the type, the average theatre would see over 1,200 procedures a year. Now, just under one in five are emergencies. Investing in separating them out is a start, because they are very disruptive. And I linked to a very good thing from the Royal College of Surgeons, which is worth a look. there's a national target of 85% theatre utilisation measured by time spent giving clinical care. The target is set below 100% to allow for patient preparation, recovery, changeovers between operations, cleaning procedures, moving kit around, and unavoidable cancellations. Work examining touch time, that's the procedure length, as well as downtime, started before COVID, and I linked to it, and was revealing opportunities to improve theatre productivity. The Getting It Right First Time programme, GERFT programme, is doing detailed and fruitful work looking at whole system implications for better productivity in theatres. OECD comparisons are interesting, and the upsum is fixed budgets provide poor incentives, incentive payments accelerate activity but soon outstrip budgets, and result incentives are being lowered and efforts tailing off. So system management and capacity are the inevitable conclusions and solutions. Look, it's complex stuff, written in joined-up writing, probably too much for you-know-who. Perhaps someone could read it to him. The NHS has experts, good people, who only need the investment, time and space to do great things. There's over $8 billion over 3 years from 22 to 25 to protect and drive up additional elective activity. Can somebody ask Dandini if he plans to keep that in place? The situation the NHS finds itself in needs serious policies, not gimmicks, clear thinking, not rehashes of failed ideas. The situation the nation finds itself in needs serious politicians who understand the problems and can demonstrate the clarity and maturity needed to see us through. And if Dandini is the best example of what Labour's got, I don't want any. Thanks very much. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly, and I hope we'll speak again.